Psalm 103. Very, very familiar words. I knew a lady in her 100th year, when I would visit her in the hospital and I would read a psalm, she would often ask me, even when I was visiting her at home, she would often ask me to read Psalm 103. And she didn't want just one or two verses, she wanted the entire psalm. And as I would read that, she would join in with me, and she would read, she had memorized it, and she would read what she could remember at that time in her life. She would join in the verses too. And so it became a very favorite psalm of mine, very favorite psalm of hers as well. So we'll read these verses from verse 1 this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We'll finish there. We pray the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. It's the theme that I want to look at this morning is the theme of count your many blessings. Count your many blessings. And just with our Bibles open there, let's stand for a moment of prayer before we come to the Lord's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this service, for the psalm that we have been singing, for thy word that we have read. We thank thee for the words of this hymn, pointing us to our great shepherd. And we thank thee for the shepherd of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now as we turn to thy precious word that thou would minister to our hearts. Lord, fill me with thy spirit. Give help in the preaching of the word. Give help in the hearing of the word as well. And Lord, though these are very familiar verses, we pray today that thou would speak with power to us and bless the word to our souls. Speak to each one, those who are saved and those who are not. And Lord, draw us to thyself, we pray. So answer prayer for us. Minister to us just now, we ask this in our Savior's precious name and for his sake. Amen. Psalm 103 is a unique and intensely personal psalm of David. Commentators are divided as to when or where David actually penned these words. Some think it was written after his sin with Bathsheba, when he had received assurance of forgiveness. Others think he wrote it as an old man, looking back on life. And there are many who think it was composed after a period of sickness, when the Lord had graciously restored him to health. However, while there may be a query over the timing of the psalm, there is no such query over the theme of the psalm. Martin Luther said this is a glorious psalm and full of the most ardent feelings and exercises of faith and of a believing heart, a heart acknowledging the infinite mercies of God, both temporal and spiritual. It is certainly a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of adoration to God for all of His mercies. What makes the psalm so special is the fact that it begins with David talking to himself. He is not addressing the nation. He is not speaking to his royal officers. He is not speaking to his wider family circle. He's not even speaking to his own children. He is speaking to himself, and he is speaking to himself about the Lord. David had many things to think about in life. He was the king of Israel. He was surrounded by nations that were extremely hostile and antagonistic towards him, and very often ready to fight against him and his country. He was also the leader of the army, a statesman, a soldier, a servant, and of course a father and a husband as well. And therefore his mind would have been filled with various issues. David had no shortage of things to think about in his life. But in the midst of his incredibly busy life, he took time to think on spiritual things. I think there's a very solemn lesson for us all there. Sometimes we can be too busy with everyday things. Too busy with work, too busy with friends, too busy with family, too busy with school life, too busy with the things that are legitimate, too busy occupying our minds with the ordinary things of life, the daily grind of life. That sometimes we do not take time to think about the Lord or talk to the Lord or talk to ourselves about the Lord. That old-fashioned habit of meditation, that old-fashioned habit of contemplation has all but disappeared, and we're not the better for that. David spoke to himself about the Lord. It's not the first time he did that. Back in Psalm 42, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." He's in a time of deep trouble there, but he's talking to himself, and he's talking to himself about the Lord. He tells himself, "Hope thou in God." He's talking his way through the situation, asking himself questions, dealing with his own soul, telling himself to hope in God and looking forward to experiencing God's help in his life. And believer, that's a vital part of Christian experience. There are times when we are so focused on what is happening around us that we do not contemplate our lives in the light of God's mercies. In Psalm 103, David speaks to himself. And he speaks to himself about the blessings of God. And that's always a worthwhile thing to do. Johnson Oatman was born in New Jersey on the 21st of April, 1856. His father, also called Johnson, was a renowned singer. And Johnson Jr. would often sit beside him as he played the piano and sang the old gospel hymn. Johnson Jr. was 19 years of age. He joined the Methodist Episcopal Church. And a few years later, he was granted a license to preach. He was never a full-time preacher. He kept his work as an insurance broker. But Johnson Oatman Jr. is not known for his preaching ministry. He is known for his hymn writing. And it's reported that he wrote over 3,000 hymns. Some of them we sing in our services. The most famous of all his hymns, and one which was sung at almost every service during the Welsh Revival, is entitled "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." When Gypsy Smith was introducing this hymn at one of his many great meetings in London, he would often say, "Let us sing 'Count Your Blessings,'" and then he would add, "Down in South London, the men sing it, the boys whistle it, and the women rock their babies to sleep to the tune." It's undoubtedly a famous hymn, and well loved by many of God's people. It ties very well in with the words of this psalm. And this psalm is for every believer. One commentator has said this psalm is the spiritual hymn of a redeemed singer, singing and making melody in his heart to the Lord. It's a universal song. It is suited for all ages, appropriate for all persons, and applicable to all conditions. And I think it's very suitable for the times that we're living in right now. We may be facing unusual circumstances and face those unusual circumstances for some considerable time. But the child of God has something he can do, something he must do in times like this, and that is we can count our blessings and we can bless the Lord for them. There are three great themes in these verses with that in mind, and those are the themes that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Notice with me, first of all, the psalmist speaks of the grace received from the Lord. The grace received from the Lord. David was a man who had been greatly blessed. If we were to trace his life from our first introduction to him as a young man, caring for his father's sheep when Samuel came to anoint a successor for King Saul, if we were to trace his life from that time to the day of his death, when he passed from this world to the next, we would have no difficulty in understanding that David was a very privileged man. He had received great things in his life. But notice how he acknowledges that in verse 2. He says, "Forget not all his benefits." He traces those blessings back to the Lord. And he speaks of them as his benefits. The word benefits there has the idea of gifts or of bounties. It also carries the thought of how we are dealt with, someone's dealings with us. And David recognized here that God had dealt with him very graciously and very mercifully. As David surveyed his life, as he looked over the course of events, as he considered the various experiences he had come through, he could not help but mark the blessings or the benefits God had granted to him. And what was true of David is true of every believer. Has God not dealt graciously with us? Has he not blessed us? Has he not treated us well, treated us far better than we ever deserve? Indeed, that's what grace is. Grace is God's unmerited favor to those who deserve his wrath. We often think of grace being undeserved favor, and we leave it there. But it's undeserved favor to those who deserve God's wrath. And David references that in verse 10. He says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." So David recognizes the grace of God. Had God dealt with David? Had God dealt with us or rewarded us according to our sins and our iniquities? We would be damned in hell. We would be lost. For that's what we deserved. That's what our iniquities and our sins have earned. But God has not dealt with us that way. He has dealt with us in grace. And therefore, we too can speak of his benefits. We have received grace from God. Note the details of this. Notice how God's grace is extensive. It's extensive. It's not without good reason. David uses the word benefits in the plural. God doesn't just give one benefit. He does not shortchange his people. He is not miserly or stingy with his grace. In fact, it's the opposite. And that led one preacher to say, "No man ever yet made a complete catalogue of the benefits he has received." No man, no Christian man, no Christian woman has ever made a complete catalogue of all the benefits he or she has received from God. And we will not be the first. In Psalm 40, David said that the thoughts of God towards his people are more than can be numbered. Think of that. The thoughts of God towards His people are more than can be numbered. And so it is with the blessings of God. We may start to count them. We will still be counting them in eternity. God's grace knows no limits. Astrologers tell us that we can normally see 9,096 stars with the naked eye. You can count the stars on a clear night, and if you're able to take the time and have the equipment and all that you needed to do that, you could count them, and they tell us you'd have 9,096. But you can't count the number of blessings we have received from God. David does mention some of them here, and they fall into two categories. We have received grace to meet our spiritual needs. Look at verses 3 and 4. He speaks of God who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Verse 12 he adds, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, those are tremendous words. And if you underline parts in your Bible, let me suggest you underline there in verse 3 the word forgiveth, the word redeemeth in verse 4, and the word removed in verse 12. Forgiveth, redeemeth, removeth. And the focus here is on the fact that while we are sinners under the wrath of God, God has moved in His mercy to redeem us from our sins. This is the language of pardon. It's the language of salvation. It's the language of justification. It's interesting that the word redeemeth in verse 4 means redemption by a kinsman redeemer, by one who is a near relation. If you're familiar with the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, and one of the three central characters in that book is a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. That meant he was a near relation to Elimelech, and by extension to Naomi, and by extension to Ruth. He was a kinsman. He was a kinsman redeemer, which meant he was able to buy back what Naomi had lost. And he could do that because he was near of kin to her. He was a kinsman. And Boaz, in the book of Ruth, is a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. His name means, "In whom is strength." And the Lord Jesus Christ is full of riches, the riches of His grace, the riches of His glory. In Him is strength. He is mighty to save. He is our kinsman redeemer. And there is no doubt here in Psalm 103 that David is thinking of Christ. He is thinking of Christ as his redeemer. And this language in verse 3, verse 4, verse 12, "He forgiveth, He redeemeth, He removeth," is language that points us to the cross. Because redemption is by the precious blood of Christ. He is our Redeemer. He has died for us on the cross as the substitute of His people. And what a demonstration of God's grace the cross is. I hear some people say at times that God is not loving. God is not gracious. I hear people say, how could God be a God of mercy or a God of pity or a God of compassion? When we look across the world, those people have never been to the cross. They have never been to the cross. God gives grace to cover all my sin. His grace saves and keeps and sanctifies and preserves and blesses and strengthens His people. He has grace to meet our spiritual need, and that grace is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. David here, David is thinking through that. He's thinking of the redemption he has through Jesus Christ. Not based upon David's work, not based upon David's effort, but based upon the grace of God. There's also grace to meet our physical needs. Verse 5, he speaks of one who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He's not just talking about our food there. He's talking about everything that we need to be nourished and sustained and be comforted in this world. According to verse 14, the Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust and He treats us accordingly. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailty. He knows our sickness. He knows things that trouble us. The Lord knows your frame. And He remembers that we are but dust after all. Didn't He create Adam out of the dust of the ground? He is not forgetful of our constitution. And He has grace to meet our needs. He has grace to meet the need of believer as we grow older and our bodies begin to feel and things begin to change and we're not able to do the things that once we were able to do. The Lord has grace for older believers. He has grace for believers when we are ill and laid aside. He has grace for us in every circumstance of life. The Apostle Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There is no limit to the grace of God. It's inexhaustible. God's grace is extensive. God's grace is everlasting as well. It's everlasting. Man's supplies run out. We've seen that at the very commencement of the pandemic and lockdown. Stores began to run out of various items, and I'm told in parts of North America that is still the case. Man's supplies don't last very long. But not so the grace of God. Look at verse 17. "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." What does that language mean? It's from everlasting to everlasting. It means that God's grace has no beginning and God's grace has no ending. It's as eternal as God Himself. I believe that's something we should never lose sight of. If there was grace for us yesterday, and there was, and if there is grace for us today, and there is, then there will be grace for us tomorrow. And there will be grace for us the next day in the Lord's will as the Lord gives us life here on earth. Because God's grace is everlasting. I don't know what you face tomorrow or this incoming week. Things perhaps you know you have to face. Things perhaps you have no idea that you have to face. But I know this. Whatever tomorrow holds, and whatever God has set for us in the week to come, there is grace for us, because His grace is from everlasting to everlasting. And He said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." There is ongoing grace for ongoing needs. And so it'll be for us. It never changes. God's grace is extensive. God's grace is everlasting. God's grace is excellent. Excellent in every sense. Read through the psalm and you'll find that David is speaking of grace that is suitable for him, grace that is seasonable for him, grace that is sufficient for him, and grace that is substantial for him. And this grace comes to us from our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And applied to us by the Holy Spirit, because He is called the Spirit of grace. What do I learn from that? I learn that the triune God is for us and not against us. David is talking about the Lord's benefits here. He gives us innumerable blessings in our lives. He thinks upon us and His thoughts toward us, Jeremiah 29:11. His thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? This psalm describes the wonders of God's grace. Grace received from God. But notice secondly here, not only the grace received from God, notice the gratitude returned unto God. The gratitude returned unto God. Note how David starts the psalm. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember, David is thinking through this in his own mind and heart. And he says here, forget not all his benefits. Those words infer that David recognized there was a danger of forgetting God's benefits. There's a danger of being ungrateful for God's blessings. And believer, that can happen. We can forget the mercies of God. We can forget the mercies of God in times of trial. When it seems everything is against us, we can forget that God is actually for us. We can forget the mercies of God when our hearts are filled with pride. When things are going well and we begin to imagine we have accomplished something by ourselves. We can forget the mercies of God then. We can forget the mercies of God when we are spiritually cold. We've lost out with God. We've left off prayer. We've left off reading God's word. Our hearts are not what they once were in regard to their zeal and enthusiasm for Christ. And we can forget in those times of backsliding, we can forget the mercies of God. We can forget the mercies of God when the storms of life and the stuff of life press in against us. We become preoccupied with other things, and in our preoccupation with other things, we forget the mercies of God. We can certainly forget the mercies of God when we are consumed with self, or with the world, or with some particular sin. We can be forgetful. And in our forgetfulness, we become ungrateful. But David's not guilty of that here. He's blessing the Lord. And he's blessing the Lord for the Lord's blessings to him. He's expressing his gratitude for grace. To take the words of Johnson Oatman's hymn, he's counting his many blessings. He's actually going beyond that because he's thanking God for those many blessings. And that is one of the great cures for spiritual forgetfulness. Start to count your blessings. Notice how wholehearted David's gratitude was here. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Why does he use that phrase, all that is within me? Why does he use those words, that particular formula of words, my soul and all that is within me? He uses that because he's indicating his whole person is grateful here. His soul, his heart, his mind. The whole David was thankful for what the Lord had done for him and what the Lord was doing for him. This was not just a theological statement. It wasn't a philosophical statement. Wasn't just an emotional statement. The whole man was on this. David was completely or wholeheartedly grateful to the Lord. I think it's easier to feel this than it is to explain it. It was not that David was partly grateful for what the Lord had done or just gave it passing thought and went on. He was thoroughly and truly grateful to the Lord. His whole being, his whole person was in this. When he sat down to think about these things, he's a man who was overwhelmed in his heart and soul and mind, overwhelmed by what the Lord had done for him. Wholehearted. And oh, that we would be the same. We have reason to be. But oh, that we would be like that. Notice how widespread his gratitude was. He says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. It's interesting to mark the two alls there, one in verse 1 and one in verse 2, another one in verse 3, another one at the end of verse 3. All. He's thanking God for all his blessings. Remember the word benefits? could also be translated by the word dealings. You could read it that way, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his dealings with me. That's quite a statement, isn't it? It's easy to thank God for the good times. It's easy to thank God for the happy experiences in life, for the joyful events that he brings us into. But David is not limiting his gratitude to those times. He's expressing his gratitude for all of the Lord's dealings with him. All of the Lord's dealings with him. Reminds me of Psalm 34, where David says in that psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's remarkable because he has just fled from the land of the Philistines there. He's had to get out of that country, and it's been a very dismal period in his life. A very difficult, dangerous period in his life when he writes Psalm 34. But he opens the psalm with that tremendous statement, I will bless the Lord at all times. Paul tells the Philippian Christians, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. But let's be honest, there are times we don't feel like rejoicing. There are times we don't feel like blessing God. But the error is not God's, the error is ours. God does all things well. Even in the mysterious events of life, mysterious to us, not to him, but mysterious to us, even in those mysterious events, God does all things well. And therefore we have reason to thank him for all things. Notice how worshipful his gratitude was. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he fills the verses that follow with the highest views of the Lord. He opens the psalm with this thought, bless the Lord. And then it's as if he begins to meditate and think through the person, the character, the attributes of the Lord. If you take time to read the psalm a little later today or this incoming week, and you read through how he speaks of God's justice and God's mercy and God's righteousness and God's grace and God's patience and God's kindness and God's pity and God's covenant and God's sovereignty and power and dominion and kindness and glory. David just builds these things and thinks through these matters, and his eye is upon the Lord. It's a song of worship. It's a song of worship. His eye is upon the Lord more than his eye is upon the benefits he has received from the Lord. Sometimes we think more about the blessings we receive than we do of the one who actually gives us the blessings. We think more of the gift than we do of the giver. David wasn't like that. He blessed the Lord. And he did so from the depths of his soul. And these words in Psalm 103 are full of deep reverence and respect and rejoicing and remembrance of God. It's wholehearted, it's widespread, it's worshipful. Notice how wise his gratitude is. This psalm was full of praise. It's full of praise and nothing but praise. There are no petitions through this verse. The psalmist is not taken up with his needs. He's not thanking God with the view, well, if I thank him, I can ask for something else. He's not taken up with his needs here. He is taken up with his God. And there are times, believer, when that's how it ought to be with us. There are times we come to pray, and we can have more emphasis upon our petitions to God than upon our praise of God. Not so with David here. There's gratitude. He knew how to be grateful. Ingratitude is a devilish thing. One of the saddest proofs, the commentator said, one of the saddest proofs of our fallen condition is our propensity to forget God's benefits, especially his unspeakable gift Jesus Christ. Sadly, it's true. But we have many things to be grateful for. Let us therefore be a thankful people. Let us be a grateful people. When should we be grateful? When should we be thankful? When should we count our many blessings? Well, let Johnson Oatman answer that. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. He goes on to say, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy that you're called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So, amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. Your God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. We can count our blessings today. This is the Lord's day. Believer, that's a blessing in itself. But this first day of the week reminds us of our resurrected Savior. And when we begin to think of our resurrected Christ, his work of atonement finished, divine justice satisfied, our Heavenly Father perfectly pleased with what Christ has done, and because of our union with Christ, perfectly accepting of us in Christ, seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for us, inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, promising us his promises will be fulfilled, promising us he will love us from everlasting to everlasting. His grace is sufficient for us. When we begin to think through just one line of inquiry there, we have blessings to count galore. Grace received from God, the gratitude returned unto God. And then notice finally, the glory rendered to God. How does the psalm end? It ends with David urging everyone to give God the glory. He begins by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He ends the psalm in verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all ye his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David is so taken up with the Lord that he wants others to be so taken up with him too. He tells others to do the same. He has been blessing the Lord, and he wants others to do that. He tells them to do that because he wants them to give God the glory. And he wants God to have the glory, not just from him, but from others. And when we begin to count our blessings, we begin to think through what God has done for us, what Christ is doing for us, what we have by way of Comforter and the Holy Spirit, we will desire God to be glorified. Believer, that's our chief end. What is our chief end? Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Sometimes we need to be encouraged to do that. This psalm encourages that. One preacher said, "Whatever others do, let me do service to my God. Whatever others love, let me love my Redeemer. Whatever others glory in, let me glory in the Lord. This is my first, my greatest business. Bless the Lord, O my soul." May we bless the Lord today. May we count our many blessings. May we encourage each other to count our many blessings. And may our hearts be filled with praise to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord bless his word to our hearts today, for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. I understand then the ushers will guide each section out, and we'll hand over to them once we close in prayer. I'll not be going to the door. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for thy precious word. We bless thee for the glorious grace of thy great salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. We thank thee for temporal blessings. We thank thee for the blessings of being able to gather with thy people. We thank the Lord for the blessings of hearing thy precious word, the blessings we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to take this psalm to heart and to lift up our Ebenezer to thee and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So bless the word. Bless all who have gathered in today. We thank thee for each one and each family. And we pray that thou wilt keep thy hand upon us throughout the afternoon time. Bless those who are able to come to the service tonight, those who watch online. Bless the word to them. Bless this day to us, we ask. Help us to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for his eternal glory. Amen.